Marshall Ferguson joins us. Marshall, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. What have I been doing wrong? You're live from a bar? Why don't we get to do that in Hamilton?
Yeah, I don't know what you guys are doing wrong, man. We get free wings. Yeah, at a bar, you got free wings, drink specials, TVs are on. It's unbelievable. We love it.
I'm jealous. The only reason I'm not jealous is I get to go to a CFL game tonight and you guys have to wait, but that's okay.
That's true. We got to wait till next Thursday to see it again in Edmonton. Now, the Tiger Cats have been a team that I think probably maybe overachieving in the eyes of some without their starting quarterback. But as a guy who played the position, Jeremiah Mazzoli has likely opened some people's eyes. What do you think he has done best replacing Caleros thus far?
I think he's kind of understood who he is, who he's supposed to be. Like, he hasn't tried to play outside of himself. That's the thing I've been most impressed with. A lot of people, including those, they worked with me at TSN 1150 at the start of the year when they decided Jeremiah Mazzoli was head and shoulders above Jeff Matthews, which pretty much everybody in the room acknowledged as soon as training camp began. We said, what do you expect for him? Like, we didn't know what our expectation level should be set at. And then we kind of came away with it saying, you know what, if they're 500 by the time that they're done this stretch without Zach, which we thought would be end of August, maybe Labor Day, start of September kind of time, then we said, well, they're probably doing okay if they're around 500, because everybody likes to say the season doesn't start until Labor Day. I am vehemently against that, as I know many people in our industry are. But when I look at the way that they've played recently with Jeremiah, I think they've got to be able to be happy with the fact that they've pretty much hit that 500 mark. And even if they were to somehow, some way lose this evening, you're in a real good spot, because Zach is supposed to come back within the next 2 weeks or so. And pretty much everybody else in your roster is healthy. I mean, if you look around at the rest of the league, specifically at Winnipeg tonight, there's not a lot of teams that are as, you know, healthy and have that kind of continuity in their offense, defense, and special teams from last season, from the end of last season in the playoff run, as the Ticats do right now. They're really only missing Johnny Sears Jr. and outside of that, Zach, and they moved around Terrence Tolliver and Tyquan Underwood for a little while at that X receiver position on the boundary side. But other than that, they're healthy. So I think it's all in all a positive.
You know, it's interesting. Like we said, Mazzoli's opened some eyes, but when Caleros is ready, he's going to be the guy to go. So that's fine. Tonight's game, Winnipeg, I don't think nobody looks past the Bombers, especially when you've lost to them already. They're not going to make that mistake, are they?
No, I don't think so. And it's funny, you know, I've talked to a couple of different stations today about the idea of that kind of trap game dynamic, and how do you get over that and how do you get around it? And the thing that I've always talked about on our afternoon drive show in Hamilton, guys, is kind of the Bermuda Triangle of, you know, score comparison. When I look at Edmonton being that third point in the triangle involved with Winnipeg and Hamilton, and you start looking across the board and saying, okay, well, we beat them by this much, but in the first half, this is how bad Edmonton outplayed Hamilton. But in the first half, Winnipeg played better than Hamilton did on the road in the same stadium and less than a week apart. And you start to compare these things, you can get yourself stuck in a real big web. And I think that's probably going to be the first thing that comes out of Ken Austin's mouth tonight in the pregame speech is, guys, nothing else matters. Like, if you look at scores and you compare everything, I can draw comparisons from Saskatchewan beating Ottawa and then Ottawa beating Edmonton in Edmonton to begin the season and say, oh, then Saskatchewan is much better than Edmonton. And until they play, right, like, I don't believe that that's even remotely close. Like, I think Edmonton's a much better team. So I think the Ticats just has to be cognizant this evening of not caring about what else is around them, not caring about standings or the mood of the Bombers or their record at home, which is absolutely atrocious. They kind of just have to come out and say, if we're going to win, we just need to do it by executing, because that's exactly what got them that insane comeback win on the road with you guys.
Marshall Ferguson joins us, a voice of the Tiger Cats. Marshall, of course, you played quarterback at CIS, and we haven't seen a Canadian play the quarterback position in a long, long time in the CFL. And, you know, people talk about how, you know, there's a disadvantage at that position because of training and everything else, the American system compared to the Canadian system. You grew up playing it. You watched it. How accurate is that? How far behind, if any, are the Canadian quarterbacks to American ones? And what do you think has to change before we see a Canadian playing QB?
Guys, this is only a three-hour show, right? It is my favorite topic to discuss in all of sports right now is okay. Canadian quarterbacking. And I just wrote a 2,000-word article this afternoon while sitting in the hotel in Winnipeg about Brandon Bridge and where he might go. Because he was, you know, we all kind of call him the great Canadian hope every time these guys pop up. And I literally have gotten to the point now where I look at the high school system and I see the difference in development, and I am subdued by the fact that until the system changes, nothing will in terms of quarterback play in Canada. Until we start funding our best quarterbacks and keeping them local, and until we start really believing in CIS football as a part of Canadian culture and part of development, then the entire quarterbacking debate in Canada will not change in the slightest. And it's, to me, the biggest thing is to start to look at the CIS as a relevant kind of subculture of the CFL. And that means that we cannot change the ratio, because there's been conversation lately. I know Gary Lawless out here has been kind of beating the door down about the idea that, you know, the Canadians can't hold up, and that's why there's so many quarterback injuries, and we need to change the ratio. It's better for entertainment, and it'll help the quality of the league. If you take away the ratio, that means that you have completely crushed the CIS football system. And I'm not just talking about offensive linemen who get drafted in the top five every year and the odd receiver and maybe a linebacker once in a while. I'm talking about the idea of every single position across the board being basically relegated in terms of importance, and that includes quarterbacks. And as soon as you start to take away the importance of a Canadian guy being able to make this league, kids will not play football, whether it's quarterback or any other position, because there's no future. There's no goal in that spot. And I think that's the biggest thing that's changing to me right now, is we're finally starting to believe in the CIS. The Vanier Cup is starting to stand on its own. The national playoffs are getting national television attention, which is absolutely what they deserve. And quarterback play has gone up and up and up. I've gone through, whether you want to talk Brandon Bridge, through Will Finch before he had his concussion issues at University of Western, Kyle Quinlan, who I backed up for a couple of years at McMaster. He was actually supposed to go to Montreal, but was thrown to the wayside because Jim Popp just basically treated him terribly when he tried to go there. There's a lot of reasons why you would think that's got to be something that got to change.
Well, you know, in the Brandon Bridge case, the thing that infuriated me the most was you have a signed contract. You ask a player to take a pay cut midway through the season, it's a joke, because I'll tell you, if a quarterback was lighting it up, he wouldn't get to go into the GM's office and say, okay, you know what, can I renegotiate my contract and get starters money? It doesn't work that way. And I felt that it's kind of disrespectful. There should be something in place that means, hey, if you want to cut a guy, fine, you cut him, but there should be no option to renegotiate a contract once the season starts.
Yeah, and my whole thing, too, with that is when you start thinking about, you know, a practice roster spot. So you're saying to the guy, first of all, you traded for Vernon Adams Jr., who has proven absolutely nothing and not played a snap in the Canadian Football League. You trade a first-round pick for him all the way out to B.C. Then you bring in Vernon Adams Jr., and you say, okay, on a short training camp, we think that you beat out a guy who's been here for 2 years. Then you relegate Brandon Bridge back to a four-string position where he's just the short yardage quarterback. And then you ask him, after you have not allowed him to throw a ball all season, you have not allowed him to put his arm in the air and test the waters and try to beat a defensive player with a receiver whatsoever, and you say, you know what, we want you to take a pay cut. Well, how is that fair to the player? Because it's not as though, like you say, a player can go to him after having a standard season and say, well, I can't take this anymore, I need you to bump my pay. Like, it's a one-way street, unfortunately, and it is a business, and that's the nature of it. But in terms of just the development of quarterbacks, there's not a lot of guys like Brandon Bridge, right? Like, he's from St. Marcellinus High School, which is in Mississauga, Ontario, just outside Toronto. And when I look at him, I see the type of quarterback that is once in a blue moon. And when you get him, you got to be able to keep him inside the country. Brandon Bridge went to a high school football camp the same year I did. We came out of high school at the same time in 2009. And I remember he was just an absolute freak. Like, he was the most impressive specimen I've ever seen at the quarterback position in person. And I remember thinking that when I was like 17, 18 years old. I didn't even know anything about football yet. And I started to kind of understand and appreciate, wow, he's really different than me in terms of his athleticism, arm strength, the way he perceived the game. And he left. He didn't go to that highest. I was the McMaster University football camp, actually. He didn't go to McMaster. He didn't go to Laurier, who was recruiting him. He didn't stay in the CIS. He didn't stay in the country whatsoever. He went to South Alabama. He went to Alcorn State. He bounced around down south. And then all of a sudden, he comes up here and he gets drafted 31st overall in the fourth round. Like, if you keep a guy like that local, and you're able to develop him and stay in the CIS system, and then he looks better and better, he's probably getting taken in the top 10 in the draft as a quarterback, which would be unheard of right now. But that's because the system is designed right now for quarterbacks in Canada to fail, because it is not designed for them to be able to develop and progress directly into the league where they can learn and get better. Andrew Buckley, I'm waving the Andrew Buckley flag for the next 15 years if that guy can stay in the league, because I absolutely love the way that he might break the mold, because he's local, he stayed local, and he stayed right with his hometown team, and he's got an opportunity as a third-string quarterback because he's earned it, because Dave Dickinson loves him.
Marshall, excellent insight, man. We'll have to have you on again soon. Enjoy the call of the game tonight. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Looking forward to it. Enjoy all the free wings and beer.